Do a quick roll call. James Wilkie, present.
Darren Dunkel.
Todd Schilbert.
Sue Schwab.
Lisa
Hummel.
Patrick
Fox.
Amy
Gaston. Do you want to comment for him? You still have some, Darren. Comment for us.
Gentleman over there.
So. All right. We've got the agenda for tonight. Is there anything that anybody wants to move around in the agenda? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Minutes for the May 16, 2023 meeting.
Can you
get your mic? We actually don't. I can speak loudly, though.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you. Can you bring that light?
The approval of the minutes for the May 16, 2023 meeting. Are there any changes, amendments? Patrick?
So, on agenda item H on the commission member park inspection report, it says that I said the water feature had been turned on. I think I inquired about it because it is not on. Maybe we can amend that and just say mentioned or inquired as to the water feature at the dog park. So, I make a motion to that effect.
Second, we don't have to do that for these motions, do we?
I don't know.
Second, to change Mr. Fox's comment to accurately reflect what he said?
Sure, second.
All right, those in favor?
Aye.
Any other amendments before we vote on the minutes in the last meeting as amended?
I think the other thing we asked about was in agenda item J, new business, about the municipal parks grant for the park or the driving rates. We inquired as to the status of the Clayton's ability to receive the resident rate. I don't see that reflected, and I thought we were going to get some more information on that. So I just wanted to make sure if it's not something that we add to that, that we do still get information regarding if that is permanent or if it can be rescinded or modified at any point in time, given the rising costs of maintaining the golf course since they were awarded nearly 16 years ago. So, I don't know if that required a change or just something we can talk about later.
To accurately reflect what was said in the meeting, I think we should go ahead and change it so it's there in the minutes going forward. Do I have a second to amend Mr. Fox's comments?
Second.
All those in favor of amendments?
Aye.
Majority. Any other amendments?
I didn't know my comments were just at the end, and I really don't care how it reads. Was only to have soccer camps for kindergarten, first, and second graders. I thought we were talking in general about running things in Centennial Commons, but I could be wrong. But it just seems it's out of context. That's all.
Yeah, and I believe that you were correct. It was a more broad comment than just kindergarten through second grade.
Yeah.
Do you want to move to...
I wasn't drinking that night, so I don't.
Sue, we'll go ahead and ask to amend. Do I have a second to change your comments? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody else?
Aye.
All right. Any other amendments to the minutes from the last meeting? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting as amended?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. At this point, we have citizen participation. I've currently got two, soon to be three, sets of comments. For those who have not been here recently, we do have a five-minute clock that we try to keep for citizen comments. So, Ms. Haddad?
I'm here to question the repurposing or use of Metcalf Park. My primary consideration is environmental. It is the home of migratory Canadian geese. They come through at the end of every May. I've been watching them for years. I don't know if you know If you remember when they tunneled underneath there and the whole thing caved in, it's had sinkholes since. When the geese go to hold it and they disappear for a while, they're tall geese, you know? So that, it's pretty unstable ground. I've been told that the substance has subsided, but I know that's not true because for several reasons I won't go into now. I'll give evidence later. But I have watched the geese, and I think there are EPA regulations that you have to consult them about if you modify migratory birds. Including Canadian geese, I thought maybe they were nuisances, so I looked it up. But the park is definitely underused, but I don't want it to be, I personally don't want its character to, what I'm really afraid of is leaving paradise and putting up a parking lot. The pickleball issue is, I didn't realize that, and people commented to me about the possibility of noise, but I didn't realize that it involved pavement. Which even kind of made it scarier for me because, I mean, if it didn't, what I would really like to see, and I know Claire Lindsay's with me, that field is 440 yards around, which is exactly a quarter of a mile you need if you're good. But it's full of potholes and stuff, but it's really beautiful to walk on because of lush grass, but you might sink in somewhere. I would love to see a sort of a path. And Claire says, and add street access. And I say, and add access from the Kingsland buildings there at the corner so the old folks can come out and walk around that 440 too. And Claire says, make it something that, you know, wheels and walkers can roll. I don't want to pave it. I can't think wood, rubber, cement, cinder, not cement. You know, just good grass, well-mown, well-kept, something like that. To me, that would be... Personally, that would be one of the greatest additions to the park. I know they still play ball out there. It's very occasionally, but somebody's out there batting a ball every night. And the kids from, I've seen teachers from Julie Goldstein, whatever, up across the street, bring crowds of kids over with pink flamingos and big, you know, balloons and ball, Swiss balls and stuff. So they're setting up, and I've plenty of kids on the playground equipment, people sitting on benches, little Chinese people doing Tai Chi on the hill in the morning sunrise. I went out and played music for the geese. You know, it's like, and it's also, it's a green spot. And when the wind comes off and I open my windows, I don't need an air conditioner as much as most people. So I would like all of these things taken into consideration. The one other thing I haven't mentioned besides the substance of my pictures of sinkholes and things is that is exactly the kind of space where birds thrive, where there are trees all around and a big open area in between, and they can go back and forth. And I've seen some remarkable things happen between birds in relation to that, including the geese who seem to like music, but Irish music anyway. So I just basically want these things to be taken into consideration, and I don't want us to do something good-hearted and well-intentioned and have it flood. And I know that our backyard, our parking lot is paved. They have never been able to prevent it flooding. They put drains in, they've graded it this way, they've graded it that. It floods every time. And I think you're going to have the same problem. That field back there, Metcalf Park is full of puddles for, you know, days after a good rain. I think you'll have a bad issue with water pooling on any paved surfaces. So I don't know how we would negotiate the walk that I would like to see made, that lots of us would like to see made. But these are my issues, and I'm just bringing them here. And I should have done it earlier, but sorry, bed foot. I stay home at bed. And gosh, I wish there was a walk around that park. I could go out and do that instead of dealing with sidewalk.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And you are welcome to continue sitting here if
thank
you like.
If I may, so I can hear.
Certainly, and I understand. It's a little harder to hear from back there. All right, next comment. We've got Mike Miller.
Mike Miller, 1331 Purdue Avenue, right across around the corner there. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised I did well that today, but I did the other night. I kind of reviewed comprehensive plan from 2008 a couple months ago and tried to attend because there's so many things that are so far out of date references to Delmar Harbor, Hawthorne, a variety of things that no longer exist, tennis courts at Fogarty Park, you know, a variety of things. I was wondering if the plan, excuse me, if the Park Commission had a subcommittee to address some of the major things that are in there that are, that would, you know, basically bring it a little bit more up to date, even if it's not a comprehensive update of the plan. That was one thing. The other thing is, for a long time I've been thinking about, in the past they've had charrettes, but every time you have a charrette about a specific park, the people are addressing things that they want. Most want a gazebo or something where, you know, people can sit down, a playground. But sometimes there's things at the bottom of a list, i.e. when people list what it's like they'd like to see, you may have something down at the bottom of the list several times from several different parks, and yet it's never going to get addressed because you have, you know, the top priorities or trying to address the top priorities for that particular neighborhood. And so some things, as an example, you know, I've seen in South St. Louis, for example, a really nice skateboard park. And why we don't have a skateboard park here, particularly for kids who can't afford some of the other activities that cost a lot of money. Skateboard parks don't. I'm not talking about the cost of the park. I'm talking about the cost of the youth being able to use the park. You know, that was one of the things. Another one is, for example, a frisbee. Some of the frisbee nets or whatever in one of the parks where kids can take a frisbee, and it doesn't have to be an 18-hole course, you know, but just so that the kids would have something basically that was, that they would have to do that wouldn't be, you know, costly to them. That was one of the other things. I used to pitch horseshoes. There used to be one pit down in Heman Park, but it was never actually what would be considered a legal park. I think it was Charlotte or one of the communities up north, used to have 8 clay pits where they used to have tournaments or ongoing leagues and things. They redid the park and did away with them, but there is no, that I know of, any, for example, horseshoe pits in New City. The one that was down here in the park was not a legal one. A legal horseshoe has to sit at an angle, the peg has to sit at an angle at a certain height and things, and that was never the case for the one that they even had down here before they removed it. So there are none, there are not any. The other thing is the, you mentioned the pickleballs. I mean, when 2008 was here, there was no such thing as, or there wasn't, there was, it existed, but I don't know that people were into it the way that they are now. So, you know, that was one of the other things that I had wanted to address. At any rate, I would like to see, I had been to Greensfelder Park, I saw some plan that hasn't been apparently touched again since 2019. I don't know if that's going to go forward. If so, you know, what they plan to do with that area. There was one time I looked at it for a potential area for the soccer team to be able to play if they couldn't play before they went, you know, to play in high school. It was when a time when the water was wet. I went on to Greensfelder and was mushing through the grass out there. So whether that was considered in the development of the new one to raise that area, or whether anything along that line was being addressed down there. So I just wanted to make a few comments along that line. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Don't leave. I like to compliment the purview of our points of view.
All right. Mr. Taylor.
Is it an agenda item or non-agenda?
Flood restoration.
I didn't see it on the agenda, but it's in the package.
It's under unfinished business on the agenda.
Yeah, it's number I.
Okay, I'd like to talk then.
Okay. Okay.
Are we doing that? Agenda items, I thought we had.
Yeah, we had talked about changing it to have address that.
Preference either way, just so long as we're consistent.
Okay. what is people's preference?
I think if a person's here to speak on something and they would like to speak when it's being addressed, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm fine with that as long as everyone else is fine with that.
And that's what they do at City Council.
Sounds good. All right. I will hold on to it, Mr. Taylor. Department reports.
In your packet, you have the department report. Most of the stuff that I have to talk about is further down under unfinished and new business. I really don't have a whole lot to go over in the report unless anyone has specific comments or questions. Yeah.
Later on, I don't know.
No, we can talk about it here. Do you have a specific question?
I just thought it was interesting that we're updating software at the golf course in June. Why we don't want to do that in November or December or sometime when we're not into peak season, because the machine was down 2 days. People were a little hassled. And it just seemed... or at least it was down 2 days I know of. I don't know when it actually went back up. Why we schedule those things for June? Probably the heaviest one.
Well, I can address that. Originally, it wasn't intended for June. We have been working on doing our software upgrades for a while, and it's not just at the golf course. It's system-wide for all of our facilities in parks and recreation. Due to COVID, pushbacks, availability of staff, flood, all that kind of stuff, and availability of the company to come in, the train, it just fell into this time period. Ideally, we wanted to do it earlier. We hit the golf course first in this process of doing the upgrade because we knew the later it went, it's going to get more and more problematic. So they hit that first, and then they moved on to the rest of our recreation facilities. That is the reason. And I agree with you, ideally, that wasn't the time, but just due to circumstances, we didn't have much of a choice on that.
Yeah. My daughter-in-law is in the software and upgrades and working with universities. We have to bring people in from the outside. It can't be all done remotely or Zoomed or, like, turning your computer over. Do they offer to come in, or is that part of the contract?
It's a combination of both. There's things that can be done remotely, and there's certain training and everything that we felt that we needed to have in this. We've talked to several other municipalities that have the same software, and when they did their upgrade change, all the issues that they had, because it's not really like a simple upgrade. They changed the whole format of it to a certain degree, so it is a little more challenging. So that's why we brought people in to help out. But this... instead of putting this on our servers, it is in cloud-based, so it's easier for us as a city to work with that. But like I said, some of the upgrades are being done behind the scenes, off location, the training, and some of the stuff's on location.
When is the pool opening?
There was an email blast that just went out while I was in City Council meeting, and it's like, we are targeting this Saturday.
We have enough employees?
We are targeting Saturday and working towards that, and we're still looking for more employees, and not much different than other years or other municipalities are constantly looking for staffing.
And the lifeguards are ready to roll, not our company that we contracted.
They're still looking for staffing as well. So on both sides, mainly on the lifeguard side of it, yes, we are.
So what do we do if we have a fairly large crowd wanting to come swim and we don't have the staff to open the pool fully?
And that's just an ongoing concern and things that we have to do. We have protocols that we're working on putting in place of which areas are the primary areas that would remain open and other areas that would have to be shut down based on staffing levels. Again, this is not a new issue. staffing levels, not just here in U-City, but it's a nationwide issue, especially, I mean, it's with all staffing, but primarily with lifeguarding. A lot of people think it's just due to COVID. No, COVID just kind of boosted it. I remember at a previous employment 13, 14 years ago, we were starting the trend of lifeguard issues. So this is something long-term that as a, not just the city of U-City, but as an industry, we have to look at of how are we going to deal with staffing shortages? How are we going to do with operations, not just of our pool facilities, but other facilities? I'd say the pool is the biggest impacted because of codes, the requirements that you have to have with bodies of water. As you guys may recall, one of the things that we're working on right now, we went out for the Municipal Parks Grant this last year to build a splash playground. We're in works with that. That's what a lot of cities are turning more and more to, because you do not have to have lifeguards, you know, for those things. It's just offering still play areas with water features, those sort of things. So it is going to be an ongoing issue. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're not going to have lifeguard shortages. We are. That's a known fact.
I guess lifeguards are one thing AI won't replace, right?
Yeah. And
can I make a comment about the staffing thing? I hope that whoever is handling the hiring of the lifeguards and the other staff for the pool is handling it more quickly than they are for Centennial Commons, because I know somebody that applied and they've been waiting and waiting and waiting to hear. So I'm just going to put that out there.
I had somebody that was given the job but wasn't treated well by our contract people, and they're out working at the J now.
Question. So we have the Round 23 Municipal Parks Grant that you just mentioned. That's one we were awarded last year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then it looks like you said that you attended an application workshop for Round 24. What is the intended thing that you plan to submit?
That is later on in our, under new business.
Okay, good. And then the monument donation policy, have we received any requests yet?
We have not received any requests yet. They are currently working on that.
Apparently there was some easement issues that have to do with utilities running under the middle of the road that they weren't aware of last time we spoke. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's late plans.
He was here earlier and we talked for a little bit.
Well, it's not our delay.
Not me this time.
No.
I have a question. The RecTrack system that's referenced in here, does that incorporate, is that what was going on at the golf course with that system, and does this RecTrack system impact others?
It is the same system.
Okay. And I guess where I'm going with this is renting a pavilion here in University City requires you to call Centennial Commons, show up at Centennial Commons, yet I could go on to surrounding municipalities' websites and facilitate the entire thing. So will this RecTrack system allow for online booking of the pavilions?
Linda, can you want to address that?
No, it will not. Or no, you don't want to address it?
No. No, no, it does not. We've never. We did have it set up at one time. First and foremost, that I had to step out and take a call. We had to do it because they were no longer supporting. We were at the end of the software that we had. And we had been putting this off. Once we did start investigating, it was so drastic that we had to get a consultant come in to help train us on it. I was here when we initially got it in 2004. Yes, I've been here that long. And it was like that all over. So what we have always had, where you could inquire, you may not have had to call, you could see what was available, but you would still need to come to reserve.
And there are other modules and things that we can look at. I know that there's a lot of other cities do things a little differently. On a lot of our stuff that requires you to be a resident, you have to show occupancy permits and that kind of stuff, which other cities do that, some don't do that. But as we work this through this, as overall, as a city entity, we're looking at all of our software and trying to make it more user-friendly. As Patrick can probably attest to, we just got out of the council budget workshop, and that's one of the goals overall for the city, is to make it more user-friendly and how things can integrate so that we can do that. So that is something that we are working towards, because it makes it easier on the residents and the users as well. It makes it easier on us, on staff, that you don't have to deal with, you know, with walk-ins and phone calls, that kind of stuff, that it is easier, you know, for everyone involved to do that.
You have a multitude of systems like E-Code, you have Civic Plus, and all those that you have to contend with that don't really talk well with one another. They do their own separate thing. I was going to ask Keith about the billing for my trash, because that's its own separate system from an outside provider. You do that too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, one of the problems with recreation software, I've looked at tons of them over the years at different places. There's not a perfect recreation software. And a lot of people have moved on to ones that they thought were better till they got in them, and they're not. They're more difficult. A lot of them got back. Most of the municipalities in St. Louis County go with the same system that we have. There are some different ones. There's Civic Plus. There's a few others out there, but this seems to be the main one that most people use. But it's kind of hard because not everybody has the same type of uses in their park system. I mean, there are some similar ones, athletic fields, pavilions, that kind of stuff. But some of the other facilities are a little different in uses. But again, this is our goal, to make things more friendly, user-friendly for our users.
Those are expensive, incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
I know Salesforce is a big one, and they are incredibly expensive, even under cooperative pricing.
Does the new system include the online booking for tee times?
It will allow that. I know that.
Because don't we pay a lot for that in a separate contract?
No.
Are we paying anything for online booking?
No, we do not pay the company the contract that we have for online booking. They allow us to use their software for free, so to speak, but we give up like a couple of tee times per day to them
that they resell.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is per day. We're only giving up a line or two.
Yeah, under the current one. And under Rec Track and Golf Track, which is the sister of Rec Track that goes with it, yes, you can do, there's different reservations you can do. Talking to the municipalities that have it, since this is a new system upgrade, like Linda said, it's not just a little tweak to the program here and there. And so just trying to get to understand how to use it has been challenging, say the least, from at least what we've reached out to some of the other communities on that. So that's why, like I said, we brought people in to help our staff try to walk through this as well.
Any other questions for Darren? Let's move on to council liaison report. Mr. McMahon could not be with us here tonight due to work obligations. And so commission members, park inspections report. Go for it.
I already talked to Darren about splash pad at Fogarty, which isn't my responsibility. But you said you would get back to me. And the UCity One, you know, that conglomerate of PTOs, they had an event there. Splash pad didn't work. And then I got a call pretty quick, and you were nice to respond pretty quick. But you said you'd get back to me on what's the story.
I'm still waiting to get the answer from our staff if it's a part malfunction or what that is. So they were the same people who work on that, the same people who were trying to get the pool up and running. So that was not addressed today. And we were off yesterday.
Yeah, so. I don't know what
the time frame
was.
Huh?
What's the time frame that were there?
What time frame were they there?
In the morning, like 9 to 1 or something.
Because it doesn't go on until
10.
Did they reserve
it? When did they reserve it? Did they just use the splash pad, or they did a picnic?
She asked if they reserved it.
Did they reserve it?
I don't know the details. I got a call that said, are you aware of the splash pad? And I didn't inquire. I didn't get other details, only that there's a part of the equipment not working.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why doesn't that seem relevant
whether
they reserved it or not?
Because it's typical.
Most cities set their splash playgrounds up during the heaviest traffic time and to the cost of water on that. So you set it up through perimeters, you know, like 10 to 5, 10 to 6, 10 to 7, or whatever. And then it's still activated during those time frames that it operates, yeah.
But the activator could have been down because we've had issues with the activator.
But little kids are up early. I don't know. That seems like... Just my opinion. I can see having a little kid that wants to go to Splash Pad 8 or 9. Oh, yeah. That
affects it, so. Any other reports on parks?
Yes.
Do you have more, Sue?
Are you done?
Oh,
yeah.
How many days do you have? Pickleball, want to be sure that's in the record again. What's the status of the pickleball lines? Because watching Kaufman, I bet 50% of the court time is being pickleball. More than 50%. I went by again tonight, go by in the morning, you know, the cooler mornings, nights, middle of the day, back. How are we doing on pickleball lines? Because those courts are, I mean, parking lots are full. That's how I get, when I see the parking lot full, knowing there's four people in court, I usually go check, and I bet we're over 50% of the court time.
Yeah, we met, what was it?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, we met with our contractor to try to get working on a scheduling for that, because that was part of a bigger package with sealing and striping parking lots and sealing trails, those sort of things. And unfortunately, it comes down to labor and timing and addressing small projects when they have big projects, that kind of stuff. But we should be hearing back from them with a set schedule here soon. So as soon as
we had that lady here that said for $500, she talked to somebody and they would come do it.
Oh, they $500 is about the right amount. It's just getting someone to come out there to do it for just one or two courts. Most of them that we're dealing with, and like the Fogarty tennis courts, unless it's a bigger project, they're already booked out past August.
Well, are there like that?
Are there underused tennis courts around?
I wouldn't say underused tennis courts. All of our tennis courts are pretty well used.
Yeah, because I'm by Friday night, I go by most of them. Yeah. They're well used, but I bet a lot of them, I'd say 50% I know for Kaufman is pickleball. Ruth Park, there's a bench for Andy Woods, for us older folks, on the eighth hole that has been busted for a couple of 3 or 4 years, one of the legs on it. It's a marble bench. It's dedicated to Andy Woods' dad, Jim Woods. In fact, his ashes are there, which was illegal, too. But
we didn't have a monument policy.
We didn't have a policy.
Put human ashes there.
There we go. We didn't have a policy, so we sprayed the ashes for Jim Woods. It is maintaining a yellow tape around it for now, a couple of years or more. Because one of the legs, the marble, it's a marble, it's nice. And I'm sure if anybody knows Andy Woods or the family, I'm sure your dad knows them well, that they would help cover any cost just to get that bench back operational, not the yellow tape around it. So that's one thing that's been...
Possibly go through the monument policy.
Right. So. Go through the monument policy.
Now that we have a policy, it's a monument policy. Yeah.
Does that cover repair and maintenance of the system?
It had something about it. Remember, we were saying that they would have to help repair it.
Yeah, that's an issue for another day, though.
Yeah.
This would be grandfathered. It's been there.
It's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other?
So we'll look into that. Yeah.
Reports for the parks.
Yes. Unless Sue's not done.
My favorite mulch pile. We've had a ton of mulch. Oh, where it's coming from? I've seen it playing up the third hole. I guess you guys, because you can smell it too.
The mulch fairies.
Well, yeah, but we said last time that we were all going to run out, and man, it's been coming in.
The leaf mulch or the...
Huh?
The leaf mulch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been rolling in, and we've still got a pile of it, which is great. No complaints. It's just, I told people that was it. Go get your mulch now, because there'll be no more. And they've all said, last time we believe you.
They made you.
Well, usually it goes pretty quick.
That's probably the fourth time they filled it back up.
Yeah, it's pretty full over there. And this is more of a Heman Park thing, and it's the last thing on my list. For the concerts, is there any no smoking rules at all in our parks?
Yes.
And the St. Louis County ordinance also says that you cannot smoke in areas where there's large crowds, all that. There's all kinds of stipulations. I can't quote the exact law line.
Whether or not St. Louis County ordinances apply to municipalities are going to be in question.
We are in St. Louis County.
Yes, but their ordinances apply to unincorporated St. Louis County.
The smoke's getting pretty sweet.
That kind of
smoke is getting a little bit sweet at Hemant Park. I ride my bike through there all the time.
The will of the people has been voted upon, and we are reaping the benefits of the new revenue source.
I guess, because I ride my bike by a particular pavilion over there, and there's a lot of sweet smoke coming. And the bigger events, I've heard people comment, there's a lot of smoke going up there, too.
It smells like an Allman Brothers concert most of the time.
So,
yes.
Well, and everybody says, well, it's an outdoor event, but if anybody's been to the Monday night concerts, they've been jammed. People are very close, and I did criticize one guy because he had his beer was in a glass bottle. There's a lot of glass bottles going on too, so that whole little thing with these large crowds in the park, I don't know what you can do about it. I'm glad to see the large crowds in the park, but
you can make an announcement asking people to be considerate about where they're smoking.
Yes,
but I didn't even
have a smoking area. Smoking lounge.
Well, there's a smoking pavilion over there now, from what I understand.
At least they're not getting drunk instead.
You sure of that?
Well, no. There's
a lot of good brownies being passed around, too.
Let's go ahead and keep on topic here.
All right, so my part, the only one, I just got back in town from 2 weeks out of town, but I did go to Miller Park this morning because I wanted my son to do his workout. And there was flooding on the the side where Hawthorne was. Like, I ran around, like, where's all this water coming from? And I was like, I think it's rain. I'm like, no, it was flowing. There was some kind of a water main break. And anyway, there was a worker there, and he said that it was the irrigation system. So they shut that off. And I don't know what they're irrigating over there. The baseball field?
Yeah, the grass.
Yeah. So it was there was a break in that. So there was water all over that area that has the worst erosion, of course. That thing is still haven't fixed. But it's supposed to be fixed by the end of June, I saw.
Things happen.
It was like a swamp over there. And he shut that up. I said, so did you shut off all the water? He said, no, it was separate from like the bathroom water. So people could still use the bathroom. But other than that, the park looks good. And still got the erosion problems, but I saw it's on the schedule to be fixed. So hopefully I will check on that. And there's one of the two drinking fountains is not functioning, hasn't been for a while, my son said, because he's over there almost every day. No, I'm talking about Miller.
Oh, Miller.
The one by the bathrooms is not working, and that's not good, because that's where all the kids are playing. There's another one along the trail that was working, so that needs to be looked at. And I didn't check the bathroom this time to see if they've done any of the things I mentioned last time, so I don't know if there's soap in there or working.
To address the issue of the dirt, we have a PO out for that. It's just a matter of right now the timing. We got to get the pool up and going Friday number one,
right?
And then anyhow, so it is on. It's out there. We just got to put it.
The guy that was in the U City pickup truck was like, "Yeah, we're trying to get the pool open, and then we got a call that the park gets flooded, and I had to come over here." He was clearly frustrated medically, but so I don't know what they did about that or. That's all I saw, and I didn't get to go to my other two parks. Although I did go to Ruth Park right before I left, so that would have been over 2 weeks ago. And the car is still there. Just putting that out on the record. The car is still there.
Pieces of the car are still there.
It's pieces of car, but it's a lot of car. Yeah.
It's nice artwork.
No, it's not nice.
Patrick, you have anything for yours?
Dog Park, they did a fantastic job on the fence and a great job communicating, so thank you for that. I was able to spread the news to minimize the impact to others. I know that also involved the fencing you did over at my pool, so it's not a one-stop fencing job, so great that you could coordinate that so that the bidding could proceed and the work could proceed in short order. So thank you for that. I did notice that the new fence along the back portion that was replaced was not like right up against it, and I know that it comes in about 4 or 5 feet or so from there. What that creates is an inability to access that faucet, I believe, that accesses the water feature within the water park. But I also know we don't know the condition of that either. So I just wanted to see if I could mention that, because there are, as the temperatures are heating up, there are a lot of people that have shared that they'd like a place for their dogs to cool off.
On the south side?
Yeah.
And that'll be addressed.
Okay.
That was going to be moved.
Oh, so the faucet will be moved.
That's what they had mentioned, and I talked to Mike about that we are going to move that.
And what I would also just mention is there a shut-off timer on there. There was one there before, but it was kind of a cheaper one that was the plastic one, like I have at my house and I'm okay with, but people tend to leave that on and we don't want to waste water. So to the extent possible, the reasonable quality, like auto shut-off timer that might minimize the use of water there would be nice if it's at all feasible and within your budget constraints.
Amy?
This park, as of the last time I checked, the third fountain is still not working, but I know you were waiting on part for that. So just reporting on that.
I know the mulch is still in process too, the wood mulch to go over there, that's on your list, so soon to be. Thank you.
All right. Unfinished business. I'm going to start with the park centennial update. Really not a whole lot more to report since last time. I think the mannequins have all come down now. Hopefully people voted for your favorite parks mannequin because it was great. That's really about it. We've got some other events still planned, and there's a lot of signage out if you ever want to know what the schedule is. They've done a pretty good job of plastering the parks with the signage with the various events. So, I had to miss the last meeting, unfortunately, so there was probably more to update you on, but I was not there, because I had to be at baseball. What? Oh, oh.
There is, I don't know if this has been discussed or not, the Recreation Division is working with Parks 100. We're doing, as July is Parks and Recreation Month, we're doing a Youth Scavenger Month. Ages 5 to 12. And so I want to say maybe the 5th, they start picking up their forms for 2 weeks. They will go and scavenge all the parks. And then on the 18th of July, those youth who scored the highest will get an award from Parks 100, and it will be presented at the July 18th Summer Band Concert.
See, you know more than me, but you've also been helping set this all up, so. All right. We have a citizen comment on flood recovery and restoration. Mr. Taylor?
I'd like to hear the discussion.
We can do that. I don't mind doing it at the end.
Well, what I would ask is if he'd like to hear the discussion, if he's giving us any suggestions, how would we go to act upon them if the discussion has concluded?
So you want him to speak first?
I think it's appropriate to hear the comments of the people that have feelings about certain agenda items, so that if we need to make any motions or take any action, we can do so, because we won't be able to move backwards if we wait till the end.
Also a good point. I tell you, let's go ahead and start the discussion. We're going to have a report from Darren, and if you could do it after Darren's report. Okay.
Okay, in your packet, under the unfinished business, I gave an agenda item cover that just pretty much spells out where we're at and what we're doing. I'll just give you the real quick overview of it. On Centennial Commons and the pool, continue to work with FEMA. We have pretty much weekly meetings talking about just different questions and stuff they have. We are getting closer on that. They last time that we spoke, they said it could possibly be about two more months, just depending, because it goes through one group, and then once they sign off on it, it goes to the next higher group. At our last meeting, they were ready to move it forward to the final group, and they said that could take up to 6 weeks. So hopefully, if that is true, within the next 6 weeks, we will get comments back from FEMA with if they approve the scope of work and how much money that they would be funding of that. So that's ongoing. Outside of the FEMA funds, the city a while back, you know, chose to move forward with some of the repairs, knowing that we might not be eligible for reimbursement. As such, we have basically taken care of the electrical inside the building, outside of the building, replacement of the fence, replacement of the pool pumps, those sort of things. And as I stated earlier, right now, knock on wood, if everything goes right, we are targeting to open the pool on Saturday. Under park repairs and restorations, FEMA has commented on that, got back to us. They approved scope of work for us moving forward on some of our repairs. They've given us some funding towards that. As part of that, we have already replaced the dog park fence. Right now, we are looking at the Jack Buck Field. There's several things there. It's not as simple as some people maybe think, that the majority of the outfield is in a floodway, the rest of the field's in the floodplain. To some people, that maybe not mean anything, but by being in the floodway, there's a lot of different restrictions, a lot of permitting, a lot of different things that we have to do. If we want to go that route, we have explored other routes as well. We have looked at the possibility, instead of going with the full-blown repairs as what people know as Jack Buck right now, and trying to stay away from the permitting issues and the length of time that would take, knowing also that that field is going to flood again and to what extent. And FEMA has already told us if they give us money once and we don't take the proactive measures and stuff, that most likely we might not get funds again. So trying to be proactive and look at the overall use of the field, we have been looking at things that we could do. One of the things that we have looked at is an alternate location of a full-size baseball field and converting the Jack Buck Field into a smaller youth baseball / softball field. Those are one of the things that we are looking at. That way we would not be into the floodway. We would not need the permitting. Future floods wouldn't have as much of an effect on it as it currently would. So we have looked at the baseball softball field at Miller Park. It does meet the criteria on size dimension, but there would be a lot of work that would have to be done to make that, you know, into a full-size field, especially to the scale that Jack Buck was, those sort of things. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the agenda. We've also began work on the restoration of the baseball fields 1, 2, and 6. We have been doing that work in-house, so we've been bringing in topsoil, laser grading. We'll be bringing in soil amendments for those fields. And so that's pretty much with that. On the municipal service complex, that is basically the facilities over here, sanitation, public works, parks maintenance, street division. All the information has been turned in to FEMA for our scope of work, cost estimates, all that kind of stuff. They haven't even addressed that yet. That is still on their list. They've been, like I said, they hit our parks. They're hitting the Centennial Commons and the pool. They're also working with the fire department on their stuff. So last discussion, they would be moving forward, looking at the scope of work. Vehicles and equipment, kind of the same thing. We've had discussions on vehicles and equipment. The biggest thing is right now we've been working behind the scenes with our insurance company on the payout, what they will pay out, what they're not paying out. FEMA will not step in until we know exactly what all those things are, because they're not going to double pay us, you know, for replacement of vehicles. There are also, you know, a lot of factors in there, looking at the age, the mileage, all that kind of plays into the funding. So if anybody has any questions in regards to
the vehicles and the museum, they didn't give you a timeline on that, correct?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what is the status of the baseball diamonds in Metcalf Park? Are they not big enough for regulation?
No, there's, as you stated earlier, there's a lot of problems with Metcalf Park, with the sinking of the park and all that other thing.
Do you remember when
No, I wasn't here, but...
Yeah, we need to keep moving. Mr. Taylor?
Kevin Taylor, 7022 Kent. I know historically the commission doesn't respond to citizen questions, but maybe something has changed because I'm getting responses, and a commissioner just mentioned that I would get a response to my question. So I thought that always came from the commission president. Maybe things have changed. The point I guess I have is, and the reason I wanted to hear this comment from the commission, because they mentioned something about moving a baseball field to a neighborhood park and what the impact of that would be on that neighborhood that has no parking, that now you'll have to fence that parking, which now takes away from the green space that they use also for football and other things. Without any documentation. And then we just heard that they were going to discuss it later, so I assumed that there would be documentation that would show what that layout looked like, what that cost would be, what the timing would be, how we're going to try and communicate that. But believe it or not, we are a partnership with the school district, right or wrong. Now, if we want to be an island or a silo and say the city is the city and the school district, then we all as citizens now probably should get prepared, because what if the school district says we're going to issue a bond issue because we want an athletic complex now, and we're going to take that Jackson Park field and come up with a bond issue, then now all of us have to pay for it because they want to put a soccer baseball complex there like they have in Cleveland. And since they're doing it, we want to turf it. And we're going to fence it. We're going to use it for our use only. Well, we're contributing to that because of our approach to doing that and not really thinking in partnership. Now, I understand the floodway and the flood issues. I understand the whole concept and fear of MSD wanting to take over the other side of the park, and maybe that's why we're not touching it. But as park commission, those are the things you guys should be talking about and working on. Yet, I always hear personal things, things that are, you know, affect me. You know, I was inconvenienced. And I always say sometimes it's not about the me, it's about the we. And this is a we issue. Coupled with the fact that this happened a year ago, we still don't have a resolve to it. We don't know what it's going to cost. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how we're going to do. Nothing. There's no plan of anything. And I always thought the Park Commission was a, quote, advisory board that could advise. Could say, we need to do this. We need to get this on. We need to see what is going on. But yet, you guys don't seem to want to see anything. And I don't come to these meetings just for that. But it seems like I'm the only person that comes to talk about things that affect the city and not just my friends. I don't do this for friends. So I saw that in the minutes and I thought that was it.